Poštovani gospodine Dugin, cijenjeni učesnici današnje konferencije, pratioci, pozdravljam vas ispred redakcije portala In4S. Greetings from Montenegro. As you know, we are talking about the former Yugoslav Republic, today a NATO country, which, according to the former Prime Minister's admission, was against joining that criminal military alliance in a percentage of, believe it or not, 85%. And yes, in order to get a clearer picture of the importance of that decision, you should keep two facts in mind. First, the people of Montenegro are most certainly the most Russophile people on the planet. Second, the country itself has population of just over 500,000 inhabitants. An area is so small that today almost 1,300 Montenegros can be placed in the soil of the Russian Federation. The 1990s, after the collapse of Soviet Union, which had long been a competitor or participated in the construction of bipolar world, brought to the stage what Fukuyama skillfully formulated as the end of history and the final triumph of democracy. But actually is the absolute untouchable global supremacy of the United States in all fields, above all military, economic and cultural. The 1990s, therefore, brought the establishment of a new paradigm called New World Order. We are witnessing that the time of the unipolar world is passing and the new multipolar world, and this is well formulated by Russia itself, where I think President Putin himself said that Russia doesn't have an ideology to impose on others. I will deal with the topic of the Serbian national space and a part of the Serbian world today, I repeat, unfortunately, without questioning the will of the people, a part of NATO alliance. Aggressive rewriting of history, which was mentioned as a fact in Russia itself, was assessed as inadmissible and unacceptable for Russia. If one were to look for the very cause of today's conflict in the east of Europe, or more precisely in the area of the former USSR, and even more precisely of the periphery of Russian civilization, it is clear that there, right there, in the desire of the West to aggressively rewrite history and try to change the collective consciousness. Entire nations. This is why today it is not surprising that on the battlefield in the Ukrainian steppes you can see scenes of the destruction of, for example, German military equipment, more specifically German anti-craft system and German tanks, just as it happened once before in the historical memory of all mankind. What is on the stage, therefore, an attempt to change the collective consciousness and collective memory of the entire nations. For illustration, let's return to the example of Ukraine, where, especially in the last 10 years, the process of rewriting historical memory has been carried out. First, the Russian language was suppressed and later practically banned completely. Furthermore, version modalities of intimidation of the Russian and Ukrainian population living under the auspices of the Russian civilization model were implemented. Then those who opposed the policy of the Ukrainian puppet authorities were killed. Let us remember the dozens of murders and inhumane war crimes committed continuously, especially cruelly against the population in Donetsk and Lugansk region by the army of a puppet Kiev regime, trained, incited, armed and financed by the member states of the NATO pact. as we can see, all this just led us to the flare-up of the conflict in the worst possible way, with the constant threat of nuclear war breaking out. I gave this possibly somewhat broader introduction in order to get to the story of Montenegro, in which a process is quite similar to the one in Ukraine and took place until recently, where the criminal regime of the Milo Djukanovic, ex-president, was financed and maintained to a good extent by the West, and which has lasted more than 30 years, changed in a diametrically opposed way to how the so-called Orange Revolution was carried out around the world under the direction of the West, as we all know. In our country, too, it began with the suppression of the national Serbian language, along with the inevitable economic and political pressure on the historically established Serbian people in order to move, as in the Ukrainian case, to the open persecution of the canonical Serbian Orthodox Church, which operates in the territory of today's Montenegro. The people then, through the magnificent lytic movement, in complete unity with their church, in a peaceful and Kantian way, without a single scene of documented violence, peacefully and almost silently, with a mass peaceful gathering, lytic marches day after day until the undemocratic election, I repeat, the non-free election from August 30th, 2020. Then peacefully removed the government of Milo Djukanovic's party. In the recently held presidential election, in a much freer atmosphere, Djukanovic's almost four-decade-long political career ended with a convincing defeat. Unfortunately, these days we see that Ukrainian regime of fear is trying to bring to an end another job instructed, led and financed from the outside about the final solution and reckoning with the historical Russian Kiev Metropolitan and a church which finds its origin and centuries-old connection in Russian Orthodoxy. This certainly raises questions about the future situation in Montenegro. Will our national liberation and the freedom of the church be threatened again? Or, as the people want, the country will find itself in a society of equals, in a world of multipolarity, where there will be a place for everyone on the basis of free will and cooperation without imposing solutions. Our Serbian people, just like Russian people, Chinese, Indian, Brazilian, and all others, like many peoples around the world, want and hope for a multipolar world in which states and peoples will live and cooperate on the basis of understanding, non-imposition of solutions, and true freedom. Thank you for your attention.